Amen. Welcome each and every one of you to RTRMI Bible study. My name is Pastor Douglas, and I'm so glad that you have joined us today. I'm so glad that you are here. So glad that you have decided to take it out of your time to just come and fellowship with us on this Bible study tonight. It is my endeavor that we begin to share the Word of God in a format, in a way that it basically enriches the lives of every believer, and it actually gives you encouragement for those that are, you know, kind of dealing with finding your purpose in God's plan for your life. So today, with nothing further ado, we're going to go into a quick word of prayer, and I'm going to then we're going to go into what I believe that God has for us tonight. We've been talking on the theme of a rescue. So gracious and heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you, Father, for this time in your presence. I thank you, Father, for everything that you're doing. I thank you, Father, for how you have kept us throughout this day. I thank you, Father, for how you are beginning to just make a way out of no way, that you are just basically are doing things in a way that we have no opportunity, no choice, but to give you all praise, all glory, and all honor. Father, we thank you that you're keeping us in our situations, that you're keeping us through different trials and tribulations that we're suffering or dwelling or thriving through, praise God. So I thank you, God, that you, your hand of protection is upon us. I thank you, God, that your grace and your mercy, God, follows us. I thank you, Father, that the favor, your blessings, God, your anointing, God, your power, God, rest, rule, and abides in us. And Father, we speak that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We speak, Father, that we are more than conquerors. We speak right now by the authority of Jesus Christ that, God, we are going somewhere to be a blessing to somebody, to enlarge the kingdom of God, to bring souls into this great thing called the gospel, to let them hear, to let them know, and to let them understand and know the plan of salvation for their lives, and to allow them to understand that Jesus is their Savior. So God, I pray, Father, that you touch each and every one of us. I pray, Father, that right now that you begin to just touch the speaker's mouth, which is myself. Lead and guide me, God, into the way of knowledge and truth. I pray, Father, that you begin to just give me the wisdom, the supernatural knowledge that you desire for your people in this season. And so, Father God, we speak that there will be no distractions, there will be no struggles, no strongholds, but the word of God can flow eloquently from my mouth, that it may bring understanding, that it may bring enlightenment, that it may bring encouragement, that it may bring peace, that it may bring knowledge, may bring substance, may bring power, authority, and begin to cast out every struggle and stronghold that has been put over the lives of your people. Father, we plead the blood of Jesus right now over every trap, every snare, every entanglement, every chain, every fetter that the enemy has tried to put on your believers, on your children, on your kings and queens. And Father, I stand in faith, covenant, agreement that God, you are doing something in this season. You are doing something in this year. You're doing something right now. I believe, God, that there is blessings, there is favor, there is a manifest a word that you have already spoken over our lives, and it's starting to come to pass right now. So Lord God, I just believe it. I give you honor, I give you praise, and I give you glory that you are doing a new thing in our lives. And Father, with every trial, with every situation, with every struggle, and every stronghold that is happening, we thank you right now that you, God, are the author and the finisher of our faith, that God, is nothing can happen to us unless you have ordained it. And if it has been ordained by you, then it is all according to Romans 8:28, where it says that all things work together for the good of them that love you and are called according to your purpose. So, Father God, we thank you, we glorify you, we praise you, we give you honor, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. If you can, I know your phone's on mute or whatever you can, but just come on, just give God some praise. Give God some, you know, some hallelujahs or whatever it is. Just thanking him for what he has done today for us. And so I'm glad that we have this opportunity again to, you know, to be able to just come to this time. I don't take this time lightly. I don't take this Bible study lightly because of the fact that we are able to just spend time and be committed in just taking an hour or 45 minutes or whatever God allows, just to be committed into just hearing God's word, knowing God's word, and just begin to learning so that our spirit, our heart, and our minds can grow. So I hope that you're getting something out of this, and I hope that this is something that is not a burdensome. And if you're not getting nothing out of it and you find that you, and I'm gonna be honest, you find that you fail, find better time to do something else, by all means, you're not obligated to do anything. I know that God has a purpose and plan for what he's doing. I believe that we are in a season now where, you know, that the word of God has to be put out there. And we're the ones that's going to do it. I'm the one that's going to do it. This is my assignment. This is what I have to do. So regardless, you know, I want you to, if you like it, getting what you can, this is an opportunity. It's probably the most convenient Bible study that you could probably ever think of. You probably sitting back there with your socks on, just chilling, hanging out, and just listening to me speak. You probably even got your word up because I'm going to read the scriptures. So, but either though, I'm glad that you are here. Amen. So tonight we are talking about rescue. You know, one of my favorite shows, and I don't really get a lot of time to really watch TV as much as I, you know, used to, which I'm kind of grateful for that because I'm involved in other things. But I'm grateful that I get an opportunity to, you know, every now and then I'll catch up with my shows like Bridget. You know, she knows there's a few shows that I like. And one of them that I was actually watching the other day is 911, you know, 911, Rescue 911 is what it's called. And I think they're putting out another version of the same show. But I like that show. I like that whole concept of just, it's just an interesting show. It's like different adversities that happen throughout that day, that it all entwines everyone and all the different services of the in, you know, your fire department, your police, your medics. It basically entwines how they, when there's a particular situation that occurs, somehow or another there's an interaction where we all come together and try to help somebody in a situation where it's a life or death situation, or sometimes it just may be a place or a situation where it may be injury. But I like that show because it lets you see different aspects of certain things that are done. And one thing I like about it is, I think the last show that I looked at is that a lot of times it's situations where there are accidents that occur, you know, where maybe it be a car accident or it may be, you know, something happens that was beyond the control of that particular individual. And it just, you know, it just happened, you know. But then there are sometimes too where, you know, there are situations or circumstances that are caused by just basically somebody making the wrong decision and it went completely left. They thought it was going to be one, you know, we're going to go one way, but then it goes another way. So like case in point, I think, I don't know if it was on this one, but there's one many times before where, you know, young kid decided to, you know, he was at a, you know, actually here's one. It was in a Halloween episode where young kid decided to, you know, him and another friend where, you know, he went on a little field trip at their school. And you know, they do how kids do, how most kids do. You know, they're rebellious. They go into a little corn maze and, you know, they start getting these little rocks and they start throwing these little rocks at these crows. And then the next thing you know, the crows begin to attack them. And so they had to call 911 because of the fact the crows kind of gathered up together and caused them to go into another barn. And it was basically when one of the boys, it was just picking at him, and it caused some lacerations and things on his back of the neck. But here's the thing, is that situation could have been avoided if the boy would have behaved himself and did the right thing. And so I think the direction of what God is leading us today is coming into the rescue. And what I mean by rescue is that a lot of times we think that you know, we depend on God or we depend on Christ to help us, or the Holy Spirit to help us, or people to help us in the time that we are exactly, you know, something has happened and now we need God to kind of fix it, or we need God to deliver us out of it. You know, in certain calamities that we face, you know, we've all probably have faced different things in different aspects of the day, different aspects of the year, different aspects of the month, week, or whatever the case may be. But we probably have faced all different aspects of things that have taken place in our lives, whereas it was like something has happened, and then, you know, we need God to kind of help us in that situation. Or it may be something where it happens so quickly where, you know, like, say, for example, a car accident occurs, but God's hands of protection was upon us, and it caused the situation to come out favorably where we still have our life and we're not damaged. We may have lost something as far as, you know, our cars or houses or whatever it may be. Something is damaged, or it may have been an inconvenience. However, but it is worth that inconvenience because we still have a level or a good fiber of our life that we're able to, you know, have the ability to regain everything that we have. But today I want to talk about something as you know, for believers, when we come into our spiritual walk. And what we understand is that God's desire is for us to get to a end point in this life. You know, it's interesting that we have, like I was talking about in one of our Bible studies, when we talk about this hope that we have, that we begin to pattern our life based on that hope. And it's God's desire that we get to that hope. Just John 3:16, here it is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him shall have everlasting life. The hope is having the everlasting life. And God put things in a particular condition or a particular way, or he laid down the foundation so that we can access that hope that he has given us, or that he is going to give us, or that he's desiring for us to have. However, we have to understand that even in that hope, or even in that end time, or even in that journey that God wants to take you on, that there are always going to be obstacles in your way to keep you from being what God has ordained for you to be. There's going to be trials. There are going to be battles. It's just like this. It is just like a football game. You know, in order for you to get to the goal in any game, basketball or football or soccer, in order or hockey, in order for you to get to the goal, to get the point, there's always defense or resistance that doesn't make it easy. Okay, so we are Christians. We are washed by the blood of the Lamb. We have accepted Christ as our personal Savior, and you know, just like John 3:16, that's just our basic scripture says that, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him will not perish, but have everlasting life. So we've actually walked through that process that God has given. And what I mean by this, God begins to express his love, okay? He expresses his love because of the fact that he wants the creation that he has created to be with him in the end time. He desires for each and every one of us. This is his desire. He desires that all of us to be there with him. However, he knows that all of us will not make it there, okay? But he lays down a foundation that makes the playing field level for everybody. And I'm going to tell you how. Because, you know, when Christ came, he basically came just for the Jews. But because of certain things that were, God's continual plan, he opened up for the Gentiles. He opened up for everyone else, for anyone that actually believed. That goes to this part. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave the plan of salvation, that whosoever shall believe, okay, by faith, believe on him, accept him, okay? The only way that you can believe on something is you have to accept it. If we accept it, then we now have access to that plan of salvation, amen? We have access to that particular plan of salvation. Okay. And so with that plan of salvation, we now have access to the hope that he gives us at the end, that whosoever believeth on him, right, shall have everlasting life. So he gives you something and gives you the hope of it. So his desire is that he set things up in a position so that we can have access to the desired life that God has written about in his word that he begins to give us. But I'm going to say this. Anytime that you've accepted Christ as your personal savior, it's not going to be an easy process. It's not going to be an easy battle. Now, I'm going to tell you this. When I say not going to be an easy battle is because you have to understand that there is an adversary, which is we call the devil, the enemy, Satan, you know, the evil one, whatever you want to call him. He is going back to and fro trying to seek and devour you. He is not happy with your plan of salvation. He's not happy with the fact that you choose to give honor to God. He is not happy with the fact that you have turned your life around and that you choose to begin to, you know, to live after God and to begin to understand the plan of salvation that he has for life. He's not happy about that at all. He's a little bit crunchy, as I like to say. He's upset about it. So with that being said, what he does is he comes after you full force. He's going to come after you and attack you in all aspects of your life, trying to get you. He can't change what God has promised you. He can't affect that, but he can get you to step out of the will of God by allowing you to get caught up in your flesh. That's why it's so important that we have control of our flesh and that we strengthen our spirit man so that we can begin to allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us by based on his word and bring all things back to our remembrance, bring all things back unto us so that we may be able to effectively charter around certain aspects of our life. And so I do believe that with all that being said, that God begins to teach us or shows us that he is the type of God that will not leave you nor forsake you. He is the type of God that he won't just leave you out there, you know, just to fend for yourself. And sometimes, I will admit, sometimes it feels like that. It feels like that when we are faced with obstacles, when we're faced with adversity, it feels like we're just out there just floating along with the sea full of sharks. It feels like we, you know, our the boat of or ship that we're on. It feels like sometimes that nobody is there, nobody is with us, nobody is for us, and we're surrounded by things that are desiring to devour us. You know, sometimes it does feel like that. I will admit, I've had experience in my life that I felt like that. I felt all alone. I felt like that God just wasn't there. But I'm constantly soon reminded that the times that when I feel that I'm looking for God to have a presence beside me, you know, where, you know, I can see him on the side or having somebody there beside me, right beside me or in front of me or behind me or whatever. Those are the times that I found out that his word, his love, his life, his authority and the Holy Spirit, I begin to understand that he dwells inside of me, not beside, but he dwells inside of me. And he gives me the ability. He gives me the empowerment. He gives me the authority. He gives me the hope and he gives me the wisdom to know and to understand that he has everything already under control. The victory or the battle is already won. It is already charted out with an expected end. And so with that, I am now committed to make sure that my life lines up with the word of God so that way I can usher myself into the right place and follow the right path in my life, that I don't make the mistakes that's going to cause me to miss heaven. Because no matter who you are, what you are, no matter if you're a pastor, preacher, no matter how much money you donated to the church, no matter how, you know, how many times you done paint murals in the church kids section or how good you play an instrument for God, no matter what it is, we all can miss heaven if our heart is not right. We can always miss heaven if our mind, and when I say heart, what I mean is that not only just the heart of how we feel and some of the reactions that we make, but also the things that begin to enter in our heart that are not pleasing to the Father by way of our eye gates, by things that we may see, certain things that we do, certain lifestyles that we choose to live that are against God's word. And it's in the word of God. So today we're talking about rescue, and I'm understanding more and more each day that, you know, is one thing that, you know, I think Kirk Franklin put a song out there is that, you know, he'll never put more on you than I can bet. You know, I've gone through the fire and I've been through the flood. I've been broken, you know, into pieces, seen lightning flash from above. But through it all, I remember that the Lord loves me and he told me that he cares. And he never put more on me than I can bear. Right? That song. The song says something that for many years when I was younger, I thought was just the same. He won't put no more on you than you can bear. That's what the old people used to say in the old Baptist church and the old Pentecostal church. He never put more on you, baby, than you can bear. But here's the thing about it that I realized is that, you know, he may never put anything more on you. However, you don't know how much you can bear. So it's like God knows what you're able to handle. And he puts a lot of things sometimes seem to be on you because you know what? It's not even about you. He knows you can't do it in your own ability, but he knows that he can do it in his own ability. You know, one of my favorite scriptures, you know, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. You know, that's that scripture that tells us that anything that comes in our life, we can do all things by believing and beginning to allow and trust God to get through those particular battles. So there, in a sense, is a plan of a rescue that I'm seeing that God does. And what that rescue is, it kind of leads us to two scriptures. The first one is really the Old Testament, New Testament. I'm going to go to Psalms 55. Okay, we're going to read Psalms 55. And then we're going to read 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. So let's go ahead and read Psalms 55. I want to kind of go there first. And we're talking about this. This is a scripture. One of the Psalms that David is speaking of, okay? Psalms 55. So if you have your Bibles or your apps or whatever you have, if you can pull them out and turn with us. If not, I'm going to read it out. I'm reading from maybe a different type of version, a different international version. And it's interesting because in Psalms 55, I'm going to read it, and I'm probably going to kind of expand a little bit in Corinthians. So I'm just going to read Psalm 55, and it talks about this. It says, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Attend to me and hear me. I am restless in my complaint and moan noisily." This is, I'm reading the New Living Translation version. "Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they bring down trouble upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. So I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness." Selah. "I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and the tempest." Number 9, "Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around it on its walls. Iniquity and trouble are also in the midst of it. Destruction is in the midst, oppression and deceit. Do not depart from its streets. For it is not an enemy who reproaches me that I could bear it, nor is it one who hates me who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide from him. But it was you, a man, my equal, my companion, my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of the God of God in the throng. Let death seize them. Let go down alive into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me." Right there. "Evening and morning and noon, I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. For there were many against me. God will hear and afflict them, even he who abides from of old. Selah, because they do not change, therefore they do not fear God. He has put forth his hand against those who are at peace with him. He has broken his covenant, and the words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, that they were drawn swords. Cast your burdens on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never prevent, or excuse me, he shall never permit the righteous to be moved. But you, O God, shall bring them down to the pit of destruction. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in you. This is a very interesting passage of scripture. Again, that's Psalms 55. And the verses of Psalms 55 is where in some few things that David kind of is looking at is that he's kind of going through a situation where, you know, it's really someone that is close to him that seems to have betrayed him. And he's talking about how so great that he's caused fear and trembling to come into his heart. And he's kind of in a position where I would even say it like this, where he feels threatened. His whole level of being is just challenged, and it's just basically vexed. And in that, he understands, this is one thing that I like, is that he begins to, in that process, as he begins to, I'll put like this, as he begins to cry out to God, it's almost a transference of his trust. Because in 27, he talks about, cast your burden on the Lord and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved, right? He would never permit the righteous to be moved, okay? So I want to kind of springboard from there and kind of share or to kind of really kind of dwell into a few more or kind of go into a few more different thoughts is that a lot of times we are faced with situations where it is easily for us to, instead of operating in in a spiritual character, to operate in a fleshly character. So I pose this question to many of us, is that how many times have you had someone that you know so dear? It could be a family member, it could be a brother, sister, it could be a whatever it may be. It could be any one of them. Okay. But how many times have you had someone they were so close to you that some things that they may have done or some things that they may have said or things that they are doing or saying, it just really puts you in a place where it's a bad place. And what I mean by that is just your heart is just really weighted down, you know, because you're not really understanding why or what you have done to cause that person to do that, or how would they even have the boldness or the audacity, or even just how would they think the way of doing what they're doing, you know? And what happens is, and this is where I really like to bring out a certain point, is that a lot of times your feelings, okay, I'm talking about feelings, your feelings may seem to be almost like they're justified, right? Almost like they're justified, but in actuality, they're really not, right? But when I say justified, not in a sense of, coming to a place where you're right, but almost to that place of, okay, I can understand why you did that, because, you know, it's, they did this, you know? So you balance it in a sense, what you do or what you may say or how you respond because of that situation, right? Or incidents or whatever the case may be, right? Or there's some other things that may come out where you may find yourself where the situation is created to a point where it forces you to do something that's outside of your character or to get you outside of your character. I'll say case in point, here's a good one. Is say, for example, if you're a married individual or man or woman, and you're put in a situation where it challenges the very sanctity of your marriage, or it challenges your commitment to your marriage in some capacity or another, be it a woman being challenged by a man, a married woman being challenged by an unmarried man, or whatever the case may be. And because of the flesh, that they are trying to pull on the weaker thing, or the thing that's not under subjection, which is the flesh, and pull on that. Y'all know what I'm saying? You know, they try to entice that person. They try to get them to entertain the thought or the idea of having any type of relationship with them outside of their marriage vows kind of thing. You know what I'm talking about? That kind of thing. Temptation, right? That's one thing. Or a person that, don't have something, and something that they desire, and because they really want it, then they have it. They see an opportunity to where they may be tempted to, I'll say, for example, they like this car, or it's a nice car, or it was a computer. Apple like this. I changed. It was a cell phone. You know, they wanted an Apple phone or whatever, Android phone. And then all of a sudden, somebody left their phone on the desk at work, and it's just sitting there. You know somebody owns a phone, but you want an Apple phone. So your temptation of, I could take that phone and I could get away with it. And then you begin to go into that process of going, and you now have now made it up in your mind that you've got a plan, and you begin to react on that plan. Okay, I'm talking generally because it may hit a lot of many different people. That is the area where the enemy begins to create a challenge or a situation where temptation is the biggest pusher, the biggest procurer, I would say, of it. That is the biggest thing. That's one of those things. Okay. Or certain lifestyles and that is caused. That's one of the biggest things. Okay. But what I'm starting to understand, and I'll share this with my life. Okay. When I first got into really confessing Christ as my personal Savior and coming back into, my Christian walk, getting into it. And then it was almost like God really, when he really convicted my heart and I made the decision to say yes, it was like a flood. It just shot out. Things just happened in his plan that just grew quickly. It wasn't like a delay. You know, it was like where, the passion or I was thirsty for God. I wanted to make sure my life was pleasing to God. And I knew I had made some mistakes in my life, and he's forgiven me. So I felt renewed, and I was trying to just live a life, a holy life, live a saved life. Matter of fact, when I first came back to my salvation, I would say, because, we get saved 4 or 5 times in the old traditional church. When I came back to salvation, that was around the time that me and Bridget we became friends. I was introduced to her and we became good friends. And I respected her because she lived her life according to God's purpose, according to God's will for her. And she lived a saved life. Me, I was a heathen, so I was coming back into it. And then from that, what I found is that I still was dealing with some different things in my life. Lust and, sexual sin and perversion was one of them. And so, outside of our friendship that me and Bridget had for a time, we kind of, just went our separate ways. And then I began to, I had got a new job and, ended up getting to, tangle up in another relationship with another young lady, that confessed salvation at the time. However, she wasn't walking the walk, and I was learning. So I said all that to say this is that my life, at that time, I was tempted, with sexual sin. We wasn't married. At that time, wasn't even engaged. It just happened. But it was like, that was something that I was struggling with. And when I was tempted, I didn't make the right decision. I just gave into it. Okay. However, I failed to realize at that time, 1 Corinthians 10:13, right? 1 Corinthians 10:13. That's the second scripture. And hopefully this will help somebody when you find out that, and I believe that God has a way, we just don't see it or we're not looking for it. So 1 Corinthians 10:13, and I'm going to read a little bit of that. Okay, 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. And I may have to back up a little bit just to give you just kind of some things. Okay, actually, it's Bible study, so we're going to read all the way down to it. So we're going to start at 10, for number one, the first chapter on the 10th verse, 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock and that rock that followed them. And that rock that he's talking about was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Number six. Now these things became our example to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as were some of them, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. I'm sorry, excuse me. Excuse me one second, I apologize. And rose up to, I'm sorry, I lost where my little point is. The people, as were some of them, as is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 fell, nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by serpents, nor complain, as some of them also complained, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who think he stands take heed lest he fall. 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Okay, First Corinthians, I'm going to read that in the different version. Talking about 13, I'm going to read it in probably the King James Version, whichever version it says. So there have no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And the thing about it is that there is a God-given way of escape. Okay. And it's interesting that I like the scripture that he says that no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. So I'm learning to understand, and for me, the Holy Spirit was kind of putting in my thought pattern is the fact that when it comes to this temptation, and a lot of times we would think that why will we be presented with such temptation in our lives, right? Why are we presented with, if we save and God is for us, and why would he even just allow us to, you know, just to be tempted with certain situations? And what we have to understand is that, you know, it's a part of the growth that he desires to put us through. So whereas what happens is that when we believe on the Father, when God accepts, God is faithful, when I allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, is that when we are in a place where we are tempted in whatever it may be, It may be a sexual sin, maybe alcohol, or maybe anything that takes us from the path of righteousness and holiness that he desires for us to have. That it's not where he basically makes you kind of preserves you and hides you away, but it's like he puts you in these circumstances, or he allows these circumstances to happen. But what it's doing, if we look at it in the proper lens or the proper way, it is expanding our faith and it's making us stronger. Now, what I say, when I say this, is that it begins to make the very faith that we have, it begins to expand our faith. And we have to learn that we begin to understand God, and I'm learning to say this from a personal testimony, is that we begin to see God in a different light or in a different way. We begin to understand God in a different capacity. And what I mean by this is that our faith becomes stronger because we understand that in certain situations that God desires to keep us. And, you know, like they say, to keep you if you want to be kept. Well, the situation that I've learned in my life and his experiences is, yes, it is a way where God keeps you if you want to be kept. And what it happened, what takes place is that when we get to that place where our heart is turned to please God, when our heart's desire is to make God, to give glory to God in every aspect of our life. And I believe the true example of holiness to me, the true example of holiness is not, you know, just wearing a long gown and all this other different stuff that we see and different things of that nature. But to me, the true example of holiness is when we do the right things or the godly things, even when no one else is looking, but we understand that he is always watching, that he is always has his eye on us, and he's always judging and examining our hearts and warning us to make the right decisions in life that please him. And so with that, he helps us, or he will. It's like, it's funny, I've seen it in so many ways, that he will begin to usher certain things to take place where it brings an arrest, or it begins to bring a quickening, or it begins to bring back for some way or another, something in the Holy Spirit will bring something to us that says, okay, yeah, let me shake myself because I'm getting too far into this things of my flesh. Let me bring my spirit back under subjection. It's like a wake up. It just shakes you. And that shaking is that warning sign to say, hey, you're going too far out here. Bring yourself back. In other words, stop. Put it up. Put it away. Zip it up. Leave it alone. Don't touch it. Don't wiggle it. Don't shake it. Don't do nothing. Okay? Y'all understand what I'm talking about. There's all adults on here. What I'm saying is that I have experienced in my life where God has gotten me into, where I've been in a situation where my heart was leaning towards one way, and I cried out to God, and all of a sudden, something shifted where it brought me back into the remembrance of what it was. I'll say case in point and example. When I was saved before then, there was times when, you know, people say booty call when you get in these relationships and, you know, you be Christian, saved, go to church, and then your flesh and your feelings and your hormones are raised in some kind of way, and it's not godly at all. However, when you get to that place where you say, you know what, maybe I can pass, I'll do this one time. And, you know, at that time in my life, I was making, you know, trying to set things up like, okay, yeah, I can call this girl here that I met. And, you know, just do this just one time. You know, I ain't gonna hurt nothing. I just do this one time. I don't know how to do this. So instead of me spending all that plotting, I spent a lot of plotting and planning to do what I knew was displeasing to God, instead of spending the plotting and planning to do what would have been pleasing to God and not even dwell in that thought, dwell in that emotion, dwell into that feeling, and give myself into a place where my heart was kind of already turned to doing what my flesh wanted to do. And my spirit was like warring with it, saying, okay, no, you know, that's wrong. But, oh, yeah, but I could be okay. No, but it's wrong. But, no, it's too strong. You know what I'm saying? So it was a lesser, it was a battle of the flesh and the spirit. And in the case where I was at that particular time, that instance, my flesh was strong. And it was ready to do whatever it wanted to do, was setting it up. And then all of a sudden, what I thought was usually an easy channel or use it, because that path was a written path before. It was a when I called a person to pick up, when I thought that path was a channel, it stopped. The phone went dead, or it was one time, yeah, the phone went dead, or just it wasn't answering. It was no connection to get to that place of devilment that I was about to do. I put it like that. Okay, it wasn't happening. God said, no, it's not gonna happen today. So that was a way of escape. It was a way for me to say, you know what? I could have really, you know, telling God could have came right then, and I would have been right there in a place where there would have been a shame. There would have been a sense of me not living whatever I'm preaching. I'm supposed to be a minister at that time or a deacon at the time, and I'm doing this. And that God could have came, and judgment would have came right then. So I had to, it pulled me back, okay? It kept me from doing something that was crazy or doing something that was not pleasing to him. That way of escape was there. I had to identify it, and I had to take that way of escape and pull myself back, say, whoa, I'm getting too far out there. I need to kind of check myself, okay? And I believe that's a place of rescue that God gives, where he begins to put, and here's the thing, is that a lot of times we're so caught up in our flesh that we miss the signal. Have you ever been riding along on the interstate and, you know, you go this path all the time? I do it I did it like once or twice coming home. You know, I'd be riding so far, but I don't get over like I need to, and I miss my exit because my focus is on something else where I'm not looking for the exit. Okay, I'm not looking for that way of escape. I'm not looking for that provision. You know, it's like that ram in the bush moment when Abraham was coming down to kill. And as it goes, it happens even outside of temptation too, where God was challenging Abraham's heart, and he was giving him it was like a ram in the bush. You know, it was like, okay, man, all I know is this, what he says, so let me do that. Then all of a sudden the plan of God changed because God spoke and said, hey, there's a ram over there. Use that. I see what you're doing. Your heart is pleasing. Let's switch it. You know what I'm saying? So there's that time when God brings a way of escape for what we think is a pattern way, and it begins to challenge us. And here's one thing that I thought was very interesting. I think we had a Bible study about it before, and I want you to go back and remember when we talked about Christ being tempted after he was baptized by John the Baptist, the Holy Spirit led him away to be tempted for 40 days and 40 nights, right? So it's interesting that the devil tried to tempt him in three fashions, you know, in three ways. I want you to go back and read. I'm not going to go into it, but I'm going to just kind of touch on a little bit. He tempted him in three ways. His way of escape was so powerful to me because it was the word of God. Man should not eat by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And when he spoke that, that shifted whatever it was and kept him back into the alignment because he used the word of God. Even though he is the spoken and the living word, of course, but he used the word of God. Okay. He used the word of God to bring him to that place of understanding and living and sustaining himself, just like what David talked about. You know, he kind of keeps the righteous sustained. And he keeps the righteous sustained by keeping us into his word, into his will. But the thing about it is that we have to make sure we have to do maintenance in a sense. And I'm learning this every day, is that you have to do maintenance every day to cast down vain imaginations, to cast down temptations, to basically just like you live life, just like you breathe every day, you eat to, you know, to survive. You know, you do all these different things, you put gas in your car to get you to work. It's that same daily routine, in a sense, that we have to do: reading God's words, fasting, praying, spending time in worship, spending time, you know, being thankful, you know, keeping our heart right, keeping our everything pure. And by us doing these things, I do believe that God makes our spirit aware, where we're able to see certain ways of escape. And I believe this also is that when we're faced with certain situations of calamity, when the enemy wants to come at us strong, God will lift up a standard against the enemy and says, no, not so. Here it is. It's been many times in my life that I was faced with an adversity that I didn't know how I was going to come out. And my thought was like, yeah, I could do this and do this and do this. I can, you know, take this from here and do this and do that and put it back. That was a thought. But that wasn't the plan that God had. He says, no, don't do that. all of a sudden something stops where I couldn't do when I had already made up my mind to do it. It was just a resistance. It wasn't there. It was in no way of getting there. A car broke down, ran out of gas, whatever it was something that stopped me to make me avert myself and get back into the plan of God. That's why I like certain things that happen in our life. When the Holy Spirit begins just to tell you to do something that you think is just so simple, or just, you know, you think it's just a willing thought. You know, the Holy Spirit, matter of fact, he did it yesterday. I was telling my wife about it. Yesterday, he said, you know what, why don't you go ahead and go? And I'm thinking it's like me. Yeah, I need to go get some earbuds, right? So I go to Family Dollar, and I go get some earbuds. And then I'm like, you know what, why don't you go ahead and do that idea that you had thought about, which was my idea always, and I've done it before, is that, you know, I work in a call center with different people. And I was led to put a prayer box or a prayer jar on my desk, just put up there yesterday. And I also have another jar that has candy in it. And I have my business cards for the church and everything on there. And I'm about to close. So I put that up there. And I said, you know what, God, you know, and that, you know, it's just prayer request. And when I did that, for some reason, I went to the front desk and the lady was asking, oh, you got, you know, buying candy and all this stuff. We had a conversation. And I was like, well, yeah, I was led to create a prayer thing in my job. And she thought that was just an absolute marvelous idea. She's like, oh, my God, that is so awesome that you're doing that. And I'm not trying to get any reward myself. But that opened up a door conversation where we talked, and she began to tell me about some things that happened in her past. And I invited her to church, and I said, you know, I'm keeping prayer. And I did, you know, as I walked away, because there was a lot of people there, I kept her in prayer, you know. So I like those scenarios like that. You know, I wasn't thinking about it. I was going from a situation where I had to go handle some stuff and was a little bit, dissolved by it, but I'm just a little bit, just thinking about it, I would say. Thinking about a particular situation I had to handle that morning. And then that situation came up. But God shifted everything because he already put me back into the plan of where he was. So I even put it like this. I will say, and I'll say it to myself, I'll say this for those that are listening, is that I believe that sometimes that God had to allow that to happen to really keep me from being in the mindset of where whatever I experienced prior to that could have just dwelt, where my heart and my mind could have been. It's kind of like what David was saying, that when your heart gets overwhelmed, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. And that, in a sense, to me, was kind of like that moment where, you know, when the more I would have thought about the circumstance situation that took place prior to that event, I would have been just like, you know, my whole heart would have been just kind of twisted a different way. It would have been probably getting overwhelmed, and I probably would have missed what God had ordained. Sometimes you never know when God will use you to be a testimony. And that's what a lot of times I believe, that when God brings these ways of escape, these ways of detours in our life, you know, keeping us from a calamity or a treacherous situation, and we take a simple road and we don't think nothing of it a lot of times. We just let it go by, you know. But we don't realize that God is actually preserving our soul and saving our lives. And he's also, sometimes what happens is he will use that to save the life of somebody else. Had a situation happen before that. I went to go look for one thing, came out, this young boy, young man was, you know, I was hot. The Spirit told me to come back out and then click the button. So I came back out of the store I was in, and all of a sudden I'm looking and I'm going to my truck, and I see a leg that ain't mine hanging out of my car. Somebody going into my car, young boy. And immediately, I was so upset. I was finna charge him and rush him. So I walked up on him very slow. And I said, man, what are you doing? You know, and to make a long story short, you know, the young boy, he was scared, you know, because I'm a big dude. He was a young little kid. You know, he was just, he told me, he said, man, I'm sorry. He said, I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry. You know, you have it. I said, man, you don't know who I could have been. And I said this to us because I wanted to scare him a little bit. I said, man, you don't know who I could have been. I could have snapped your neck. I could feel like snapping your neck right now. You know. And honestly, I'll be said I was upset like that, because anytime anybody touches your stuff that you don't give permission to, you feel violated. So I did feel that, but then the Holy Spirit had to arrest me a little bit, and I began to see what was going on. And there was a young boy, you know, he was kind of disheveled, you know, had on dirty clothes and his arm was all bandaged up and taped up. You know, he was a skater. And the boy was saying to me, he was like, well, sir, I'm sorry, you know, you have every right to hit me if you want to do that. I understand. Here's all the stuff. And I said, no, man, go ahead and put everything back in my truck. Put everything back in my truck. And so I had him do that. He was scared. He was shaking. And then I began to talk to him and I began to hear. I said, man, why are you doing this? I said, you know, you can't do this. I could call the police on you right now. But I began to hear what he was saying, and God began to just place it in my heart because I understood the situation. He was a young kid. I don't know what happened with his family and parents, but he was out in the streets, homeless, and just trying to find change to eat. So, you know, I had a little bit of money that I had. I said, you know what? Let me go over here. Come on, man. Let me go and go over here. So I bought him, you know, some little stuff here and there, you know, gave him my card, gave him, you know, one of those little packets that, you know, we put together with toiletries and everything in that, and put all that stuff in the bag, gave him some, you know, some things that, you know, some juice and stuff like that, that he can, you know, hopefully sustain himself for a bit until he finds something. But to keep him from, you know, getting into a position where he has to do that again, because the change that I gave him, which I did give him all the change that I had, because he had in his pocket anyway, and he was trying to give it back, I said, man, just keep it. So that little bit of change that he had wouldn't have really did much. So I said, let me go and do a little bit more. So that incident, you know, it was an interaction where we collided, is where we collided together. My life and his life collided in this one moment. You know, it's one moment that, you know, and I probably would speak on a Sunday now that I think about it, but it collided into a moment where, that I can, you know, really pray for him, have compassion on him, you know, talk to him, hopefully minister to him, you know, and begin to make that day a little bit better than it was. But it all happened from out of something that I may have been tempted to do that could have went completely left. But the ram in the bush came, and, you know, my heart was convicted. And I saw the need, and I saw how he was hurting, and talking to him, you know, and his name was Israel. His name was Israel. Go figure. If I remember correctly, I think it was Israel. But anyway, you know, to talk to him, and it really kind of stuck with me that the rest of that night. Okay. And I still have to say this. Sometimes that our temptations can save somebody else's life when we overcome and we let the power of God and let everything happen in God's life keep us. So I thank God for the keeping power of God, because those times for many of us, we are in situations recently that cause us to want to be to a place where we just completely ticked off, want to be upset, want to act a certain way towards people because of the situation that we are affected with. And I've noticed and found out that the minute that I wanted to get out of character with a situation, the Holy Spirit opens up something where the person leaves, moves, or something happens where they apologize, and that convicts my heart and brings me back to where I need to be. And I'm saying this because I'm not perfect. We are not, all of us are not perfect, you know, but the Holy Spirit does that. So I pray that today that this has been a good lesson for you. I pray that God has really blessed you in some capacity or another to understand that, you know, no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, no matter what your trial is, no matter what, you know, what you're, you know, what you're going through, you know, it may be a hard situation, but look for that way of escape. Look for that window. You know, a lot of times we're looking for doors to open on our life, you know, and when it comes to like situation or provision, we're looking for doors to open on our life. And when that door doesn't open, we try to find doors. But sometimes God may not have a door for you. You know, he may not have a pattern, you know, simplistic way out for you. It may not be what you may think that it was going to be, but we must trust God enough to know that he's going to always rescue us. And a lot of times I've learned in situations in my life that when I was looking for a door, God told me to find a window. And with that window, when I found the window, I went through that window and it brought me to the other side of the barrier that wherever God had. I've done that so many times with my family. And, you know, with that, it's just the small things where we're just looking for the voice of God and trusting him to speak, trusting God, you know, and I changed that. I was just about to say, trusting God to move. No, No, not trusting God to move. We have to understand that God has is always moving. He's always moving. He's always going forward. He's actually, you know, the song that I like, that he's already there, is meaning that he's already at that place where your deliverance, your restoration, your healing, your financial breakthrough, your financial blessing, everything. He's already at that place. And that place, he allows you to see him so that you can start striving towards that place by your faith. So he's already moved in our behalf. So whatever situation that you have right now, anything that you're facing, any obstacle, any struggle, any stronghold that you're dealing with right now, I believe that God has already made a way. He has rescued us from what could have been a treacherous and a dangerous situation. And he has rescued us from the grip of the enemy. And he has gotten his hand upon us. He's holding us in his right hand. I believe it. I believe holding us in his right hand, that no temptation can ever befall us, that no matter what the plot and the plan that the enemy has for our demise, that it will not prevail. So I speak it now by the authority of Jesus Christ. Gracious and heavenly Father, thank you for your people that are on this broadcast. I thank you for those that have joined this Bible study. And Lord God, whatever the hearts have been heavy and they felt like throwing in the towel, Father God, you find the way of escape. Let it be present in their lives. Give them the detour, God, that they need to regain their hope, to rebuild their trust, and to reestablish their love for you. Let them know, God, that you are always in the midst of their purpose. You're always in the midst of their plan. And even right now, when you feel, or when they feel like you're far from them, let them know, God, that's when you are the nearest, because you are dwelling inside of them. I speak right now to every heavy heart and every burden, every stronghold, every person that is going through any type of difficulty, any person that's going through any type of adversity. I believe that God has made a way for you. I stand on it. I believe it by faith, and it's just around the corner, just around the bend. But don't stop breathing. Don't stop walking. Don't stop believing. Get up, get you some rest, but get up in the morning and look with expectancy to the hills which cometh your help. Look for God to do something supernatural in your life. I believe it's going to be done. I believe it's going to take place. I know that we've gone through some rough battles, some serious struggles in our life, some strongholds, and some different things. But I believe God. I believe God. I trust God. He's never left us, never forsaken us, never lost a case, never lost a battle. He's a winner. He always wins, never loses. And I thank God that we are in that with him. We are victorious because he is victory in himself. So, Father, I thank you for each and every one that are here. Meet their every need. I speak blessings, favor, and your protection and glory upon their life. That every household, Father, has what is need tonight. I speak spiritual seeds shall plant in their hearts and sprout up, God. Spiritual seeds over their families, that salvation shall be the revival that take place in their home. For those that have lost their way, God, bring them back. Those that are dealing with different lifestyles, bring them back. Let them find a way of escape. You do it, God. It's in your hands. We trust you. We give you glory. And we give you all honor. So on that note, we thank you that, God, you have done a work in our lives. You are restoring your people. You are restoring the remnant. My name is Pastor Douglas. You have been restored. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, I ask that you allow us to continue to do so and sow a seed. You go to our website, which is rtrmi.org. You can sow a seed by way of Givelify, as well as by PayPal. Every seed helps this ministry grow to reach the kingdom. Every seed helps for different initiatives that we're trying to do for the homeless and for this community. So I hope that you have been blessed. Also, you can also catch us on our podcast that is starting to be developed. You go to Podbean it's called podbean.com, and look for Restoring RTRMI Radio. There are some messages out there that I believe that will be encouragement to you, and more messages are soon to come. But I wish you a good night, good rest, good peace, and be blessed. This is Pastor B, and I'm signing off. Thank you.